Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you got me.
Welcome to Science and the Paranormal with Dr. John DeSalvo and Lady Veronica. And we're coming to you live from the studios of liveparanormal.com. And we got a great show for you tonight. This is our first show. And we have Denise and Larry Altman with us, who were the owners of one of the oldest shops in the United States that is considered haunted. And that's in St. Augustine, the oldest city on the oldest street. And they have an incredible story to tell. And we'll be bringing them on in just a few moments. And I hope I got everybody on here. I've been having a little trouble with this board, but I think we're doing okay. So let's see. I just want to, Veronica, are you there? Veronica? Okay. Well, let's see. Oh, okay. Her mic is off. Okay, let me get her back on here. Veronica, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, sorry about that. I had your mic off. Listen, welcome to the show, and thanks for co-hosting it with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for asking me to co-host with you.
Yeah, just a little bit about Veronica. Veronica's a biomedical engineer, and she works for a large pharmaceutical company. And I'll let her tell you a little bit about herself. But the reason I asked her to be my co-host is because she, basically is a skeptic. I don't want to put a label on you, Veronica. Is that okay? Is that a good
Yeah,
term?
No, that's all right.
And you're very open.
Yeah,
and actually, I've done Veronica's actually my daughter. I'll give the secret away. So she knows my work inside and out and all my crazy research and everything. And So she's very knowledgeable about all the guests we're going to have on.
You have reached
the
maximum time permitted for recording your message. If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase
I have
re-record,
no idea what's going
press
on here
3.
With this,
I think
with
you
this
have
a line
that you need to hang up on.
Yeah,
if
well,
you're satisfied
I'm just
with
checking.
The message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
Well, for some reason, I can't get into the studio board thing here.
If you're satisfied with the message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 2. To erase and re-record, press 3.
All these things here have hold times on it, and I have no idea what's going on. But anyway,
sorry,
this is great
trouble.
For the first show.
Your message has been sent. Please try again later. Goodbye.
Good. Goodbye. All right. I could blame it on UFO. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So like my dad said, I studied biomedical engineering at Rutgers University in New Jersey, and now I work at a pharmaceutical company. And basically, yeah, I've obviously grew up with John and, was exposed to all of his kind of paranormal stuff from an early age, and we have a lot of conversations about it. And like you said, I'm skeptical of a lot of the stuff. I like to ask questions. So he figured it could be nice to have me on here since I know just enough to be able to ask good questions, but I'm not super into the space. And so I still have some kind of stuff that I can ask that maybe more general public wouldn't know.
Well, and I think that's important because a lot of the shows, they just have one side of it, and they don't have both sides. And the other thing I guess I want to mention for maybe briefly a lot of people who don't know me or haven't followed my work, but I'm a biophysicist, PhD in biophysics, and a master's and bachelor's in research into paranormal for over 30 years. I'm a former college professor and dean of student affairs. And also I what else did I do, Veronica? I've been on ECLS. A lot of people like that show, Nostradamus Effect series. So I do a lot of History Channel stuff. And I have 10 normal published Barnes and Nobles and Inner Tradition. So I've kind of been into everything, and I'm currently director of the Great Pyramid of Giza Research Association. So that's 40 years of my life in about seconds. I don't know. That's pretty good. What did I leave out?
Yeah, I think you about summed it up.
Okay. Now, the thing about me is that I'm a believer in the paranormal, but I'm also a scientist. So that's a very important aspect, I feel, because we have to, the academics on one hand are totally closed off to the paranormal, and the I hate the New Age, and the New Age people are basically what's the term? Believe in everything, you know. They're not skeptical. They just, if it sounds cool, like, hey, you know, there's a galactic empire and planet X and this and that, and I talked to Abraham Lincoln, that's fine, but we'd like to see some proof, okay? And so this is the one thing I really like about the ghost hunting and our guests tonight. A lot of the stuff and the research can be verified, and verified with scientific equipment and different apparatus used to try to, you know, validate it. So I'm trying to get one of our other guests online. I'm having trouble. The board is just freezing on me. So Denise, if you're listening, I'm trying to call Larry. So I don't know if it's working, but it says dialing.
Larry is on. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, Larry.
I'm on the line.
Denise, you're there, right? Okay, great. Yeah, for some reason, Larry's there, right?
Yeah, okay, we're sharing my phone right now. We don't have Denise on her phone. Somehow you guys got disconnected. So we're just on one phone right now.
Okay, and this is funny because I've been on radio for 5 years, and I've been on this kind of studio board for about 5 years. So I'm really familiar with it. There's some changes, but I've never seen a board freeze like this, trying to get the ear and dialing a number that I didn't even put in. So I have no idea what's going on. But at least I got you on. I got my co-host on, and we're getting all set. So just want to make a few other comments. Is we're going to be on every and I'm not breaking up this time, right? The last show I was on, my phone was breaking up. We're going to be on every Thursday night from 6 to 7 Central Time and 7 to 8 Eastern Time. And we'll be having a guest hopefully almost every time. Next week we're going to have one of the alleged daughters of Elvis Presley. And she's been a good friend of mine. She was married to Marlon Brando's daughter. And she'll talk about a little bit about when Elvis allegedly died. He died with the prototype copy of one of my Shroud books in his hands, which I thought was very interesting. And she validated that for me. So we've been friends for a long time. She's been on my other shows, and she's a great host. And we'll learn a lot about Elvis and her growing up there. And some of the different thoughts. And again, she was married to Marlon Brando. She told me some secrets about the Godfather movie. So maybe she'll reveal those. And so we're going to have a variety of guests. One of my best friends I'm working with is a former NSA cryptologist and invented cyber war for the U.S. under Reagan. And he'll come on anonymously. So we'll have him on. I'm trying to get a good friend of mine. It was involved in black ops, and I'm trying to get her on anonymously because she is a big shot in the government. We're gonna try to get guests and people that you're not gonna get on other radio shows, and so that's the key. This is gonna be a unique show where we're gonna have both sides of the stories. I mean, we're gonna be obviously respectable and polite, but we want the guests to talk about their theories and maybe be challenged and have some proof. Like in academics, when you define a thesis, you get up, you explain your theory, and then people ask you questions. And so I mean, it's not done in a threatening or a put-down way, but in a scientific, inquisitive way. So keep in mind, I am a believer in all this. I wrote 3 books on Enochian magic. I mentioned 10 books, 2 at Barnes & Noble's on the pyramids and Dead Sea Scrolls. And I'm a believer. If I wasn't, I'd be a hypocrite. But I'm also skeptical, and I want proof and data. How's that, Ronica? Does that give you an idea of how weird I am? Or
yeah, I mean, I already knew you were very weird, but I think this helps for everyone else to know how weird you are.
So that's the kind of the thing. And the other thing tonight, Larry and which I want to bring them on now, Larry and Denise Altman have been good friends of mine for some time. I really admire these people. They are just, you know, you talk about people that are smart, intelligent, have a big heart, and you know, really, again, think like a scientist, think analytical. That's why I enjoy our friendship. And I'm going to let them tell you about them, but I did want to mention again that they, for around, I think about 8 years or so, owned a shop in St. Petersburg, Florida, which I love, on Avila Street, which is the oldest street in the United States. And it was called Antiques and Unique Collectibles, right? And I think 2018. And they also were recently on a TV special, My Ghost Story, which is fantastic. I do have that on my Facebook page. And if you're not a friend of mine on Facebook, you probably should be, because I'll be putting a lot of information about the show and posting pictures. And just go to Dr. John DeSalvo on Facebook. And just make sure you, my picture, I have sunglasses and a hat and 007. You can't miss me, and I'm in Minnesota. Ray Ronica, you can't miss my picture, right, on Facebook, so people should be able
it's
to find
mysterious.
Me. So, yeah, so thank you, you know, and try to stay out of trouble. But anyway, so let me bring, you know, Larry and Denise on, whoever wants to go first, and maybe you can kind of from the beginning tell us why did you buy the shop or rent a shop in St. Augustine, and what was your inspiration for that?
Well, you know, before we get into that, Sir John, I've got to tell you, it's nice to have Lady Veronica on, your daughter, to confirm our suspicions about your current mental state. I just, you know, I just wanted, you know, I'm just kidding. We love you. here's the thing. My wife and I, Denise, we lived in South Florida, and like a lot of people in South Florida for many years, we would go ahead and vacation in the Florida Keys or in Orlando. And one time, I don't know, about 15 years ago or so, my wife said, I'm tired of those places. She took her finger, put it on the map, and said, we're going here. And it happened to be St. Augustine. So we drove up the coast. We took one of the tourist trains through the city, which showed various sites. And one of the trains, the red trains specifically, go down Avalee Street. It's a very tough street to get down. It's very, very thin. And that train went down Avalee Street, and we saw this store, and we just both said, we have to get back there. Don't know why. When we did get back there the next day, my wife felt the presence of children's spirits. Now, I am totally, when it comes to spirits, like many guys, I don't feel a lot. Once in a while, I have an experience. Most of the time, it's like, oh, did that just happen? You know, but she felt she felt the presence of children's spirits. And she specifically looked at me, and I looked at her, and we said, you know, let's make it our goal to get to St. Augustine as we get a bit more advanced and see if we can buy the store. And eventually we got it. It took until October of 2010, I think. We opened in November before we actually took over the store.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the background. We didn't know anything about St. Augustine, really, until we got here.
That's really cool.
Did you... did you have a strong feeling that these spirits were looking for someone to take care of them, to watch over them?
Absolutely.
Major feeling?
Absolutely. You know, children seem vulnerable anyway, and these were just, it was really sad. I do have a picture of one of them. I'll send it to your Facebook. But, more than that, too, we actually sat on top of a cemetery. Most of the cemetery was under the street behind us, but close enough, obviously, for the spirits to come in. And they were very welcoming. I never had any frightening experiences. Anybody jump out and boo me. They were just there. And we had one in particular. I figured out his name was Henry, and he was a Haitian slave. And trust me when I tell you, I have so many stories you don't even know. Henry was my main focus for the longest time, and you just felt a sense of security when he was around. He just wouldn't let things happen. So I never had, if there were any bad spirits in the store, we never knew it. And we attribute that to Henry's love.
We think that that Henry, based on lots of interviews and conversations that a lot of investigators had with him, we believe that he was not only a Haitian slave from probably the 1600s or 1700s, but that he was a household slave. So he took care of the family and the children, and it just seemed that he gravitated toward taking care of my wife. My wife became the focus of the person that he cared for. And I can back that up real briefly with a quick story. And again, I'm much like you, Sir John, very, very skeptical about things. It takes an awful lot to convince me that something
sure,
is going
true.
On. But yeah, I mean, that's the way to be as far as I'm concerned. But there was a particular day that I was not feeling well, and my wife was in the store, and she had a friend in there as well. And they, I think, probably thought I was being rather mean and cruel. I know that's hard to believe, but that's what they thought. And interestingly enough, that afternoon when I went to the restroom, and as I came out of the restroom, my name was called, and it was called in a deep male voice, kind of like, Larry. Now, the reason I did it that way, when I was a kid and my mom would yell at me, of course, in her voice, she would yell at me the same way. She'd go, Larry, you know, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It stopped me. I mean, there was nobody around me at the time that could produce that sound. And when I walked back into the store, my wife looked at me. She said, what's wrong? Apparently, I had changed shades. And I explained it to her, and she said, well, that the way you described the voice, that sounds like Henry. And I think he was yelling at me because my wife thought that I was mean, and Henry was protecting her from me being mean to her. Now,
wow.
You know,
wow.
Do I know that? I don't know.
That's interesting.
I mean, but that was an experience that I can't attribute to anything other than a spirit. So that's the kind of stuff that happens.
Well, you know, in after, you know, knowing you guys for a while and sharing stories, I mean, and videos too that you sent me, like one of like the refrigerator opening by itself and the dark image in the back and all these things. I mean, you may be able to explain one away, but all of them away is going to be very difficult. So, and you know, sometimes your intuition is the best, and you really felt something paranormal, right? You and Denise, that something paranormal was definitely going on, correct?
Especially my wife. I mean, my mother, may she rest in peace, used to believe deeply in paranormal phenomena, and I used to just kind of look at her and say, Ma, really? So I never really believed a lot in it, but my wife, she's a little shy about it, but she had experiences since she was a kid that she never explained to me when we got married. Now, we've been married 20 years. This is the second marriage for both of us. And she never told me that she had those experiences until things started happening at the store.
Interesting. Was she afraid, you think, that you'd think she was be a weirdo? You know, because a lot of people are like that. I know a lot of women that do not share their psychic ability, you know, with their family because they'll think they're nutso until they start making predictions and saying things that they would have no way of knowing. And then the family starts listening up and saying, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here? You know?
Exactly. Like you said, I'm Native American and grew up in it. So I've always had a feel for it. It mm-hmm. was really heightened when we moved to St. Augustine. Now that we're not in the store, I've even had an experience at home, which I'd really love to share. I especially want your daughter to hear it because she is skeptical. May I? Okay.
Yeah.
I have a dear friend that we've known for most of the time since we moved to St. Augustine, and I won't mention her name for obvious reasons, but she's a very, very sweet girl or woman. Anyway, some months ago, I think it's just a year, her oldest daughter committed suicide. And naturally, she was just devastated. Well, long story short, in our bedroom, we have a really long desk that has both of our towers and both of our monitors and keyboards, et cetera. And to the left of that, we have a television. And I don't know why, but for some reason, I looked towards the television and there was a little girl standing there. And when I tell you she's the clearest apparition I have ever seen in my life, I could basically count her eyelashes if I wanted to. She had short, curly hair, almost on the Shirley Temple kind of style. And what I did notice about her is that her eyes were just, I mean, she had pupils. I could tell she had pupils. She was perfectly formed, but there was absolutely no expression in those eyes. So I was fixated on her, trying to determine why she was here. Why in my bedroom? Mm-hmm. Who are you? Well, the pictures that my friend had posted of her daughter were naturally when she was older, in 14, 15 years old, and she had very long, straight brown hair. Well, for whatever reason, after what happened, my friend posted a picture of her when she was 9 years old. And as God is my witness, this girl had, sorry, I'm going to get emotional, short, curly, blonde hair with the same dark eyes. So
why me?
I don't know. I will tell you, and this part's going to really sound crazy, but I hope you know me well enough to know I don't make this stuff up. But I can be anywhere. I can be in a store. This just happened to me again yesterday. I sort of get this whiff of a smell that I have never smelled in my entire life. If I had to describe it, the only thing that comes to mind is green, the color green. Who knows what the color green smells like? I don't, but that's how I liken it. And what will happen to me is I become totally useless. My legs won't work. I don't know. I don't know how to explain what's going on. And I do take blood pressure pills, so it's not any kind of problem like that, any kind of medical thing. But it is just as scary for me because I don't understand it. But on the other hand, how wonderful is that, that her daughter would appear to me because she knew we were such good friends. And I haven't seen her since. It was just the one time. But like I said, I did get that aroma, and it just renders me helpless. And I've tried asking so many people what it is, and nobody understands. Nobody can even imagine what it is. So I'm not sure, but.
Do you get this from a lot of other people too? I mean, are you kind of like a natural psychic, do you think, Denise, or is it just because you open to, you know, certain friends or people or the store? Or do you think it's just a gift you've always had and you pick up on different things?
Well, in answer to that, when I think back over my lifetime, my mom was very psychic as well. But sometimes I would think she was a nut job, you know. But
So how I feel about
what it
is.
And now me. But she... When you're gifted psychically, you're extremely empathic and you can think and feel what other people are thinking and feeling. And a lot of times people end up in the psychiatrist office because they don't understand. And I've learned through the years, I'm 65 now, I've learned through the years that it's just a natural gift. And when you're an empath, you're going to take on the feelings of people that are around you because you want to help them. But if you don't understand it, it just drives you insane. You're like, oh, God, I have a headache. What is this kind of thing? So
do you remember
I do know that people
started...
don't.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I'm really envious. I'm very, very happy with like parents that are psychic. I know several ladies that are psychic that have children. that are psychic, and they can relate to the children, and they can cultivate them, and not tell them, oh, you know, like when I was a kid, if I said, you know, I've had certain paranormal experiences. If I mentioned them to my parents or anyone, you're crazy, or you're seeing things and forget about it. And so maybe I could have developed a psychic ability, which I never did. But it's wonderful, like people like you and your children and others and your mother, who realize that this could be a real gift, a real ability, and maybe cultivate it. And I did some research because I think it's a lot of it's genetically related. They used to say psychic ability skips generations, but I didn't see that. I see a lot of mother-daughter psychic abilities, and so, you know, more work needs to be done. God, you know, there's so much I want to ask you guys and cover, but maybe we can jump over to the haunted dolls for a little bit, and then we can come back again, because, you know, a lot of my friends on Facebook who are listening, and I posted a lot of pictures of haunted dolls, are really interested in that, and they want to make sure that we talk a little bit about that. So maybe you can explain about the dolls you had in your store and where they came from. And when we say haunted, let me make it clear, and I think you'll agree, it's not that they're evil or bad like the things you see on TV. They're dolls that somehow picked up a spirit. And maybe it could be a child spirit or somebody who died suddenly. And for some reason, they haven't moved on and are inhabiting these dolls. For some reason, they relate to them. Maybe the little girls and they played with dolls. So I just want to make this sure. We talk about haunted dolls. We don't mean evil. Now, yeah, there are evil spirits that possess items. But as far as I know, most things in your store were not evil. And these dolls definitely weren't. So can we talk a little bit about the dolls?
I think you're right on that, Dr. John, because I like to think of them as spirited rather than haunted. Haunted has a lot of negative terms to it, and spirited, you know, can almost be lighthearted. And you know, I'll let my wife tell you a little bit about their history with us, but I'm just going to bring up a story about one particular doll. And her name is Meredith, and she is a doll that you now have in your possession.
Right.
You know, and in our opinion, that's where she belongs. But she was on display in our store in one of the back display rooms.
Mm-hmm.
But we got her from a yard sale in Mississippi a number of years ago. And she's part of what is known as the Americana collection of dolls. So she was not unique in the sense that others were produced with her name and that tag. But we had her on display there, and I never thought much about it. And a young couple, I'm guessing in their 20s, had visited our store on on one of the ghost tours that were conducted there. And they saw the doll and came back the next day, and they purchased Meredith, took her home, which was fine with us. I mean, we didn't at that point, didn't know much about it. And about a week later, the gentleman from this couple came back into the store, and I was at the store at the time. My wife was not. And he has Meredith in a bag from Publix supermarket, and he puts the bag on the he puts the bag on the counter, and he looks at me and says, "I have a strange question to ask." And I said, "Okay, how can I help you?" And I'm thinking, "Oh boy, here it comes." He said, "I want to return this doll that we bought." I said, "Well," and we have signs posted. So we generally don't do returns. Is there a particular reason? He said, "I just want to return her." I said, "Well, is there some problem with the doll? I mean, I'd like to know." And he said, "Well, my wife, girlfriend sees her moving." Now, he didn't go into details about that. And my theory is, based on the panic on his face, he's the one who probably saw her move, which is something I never saw. And here's the thing. I said, "Okay, look,
good guess.
You know, I said, I'm not going to give you a refund. I said, but I'll tell you what, pick something else out in the store of equivalent value, and I'll just exchange her." He said, no. "You don't understand." He said, "I want to take this doll and put it back on the shelf where I got it, and I don't want anything else from the store." And that's what he did. He turned around, put the doll back, and left. So
funny.
Wow.
I love that story. I want to maybe interject quickly and tell you just a couple minutes of my experience with Meredith, because it does confirm that. So he didn't exchange it for like a shrunken head or anything, huh? He didn't want to go that far.
Nothing. He wouldn't take it. I would have given him $25 worth of bottled water. He didn't want it. He just left.
I love it. No, I love that
tour,
story.
You'd think he would like, he was there, you know, he would like that, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
it didn't make any sense. But just so you know, adding to your comment there, in the store, I did every single thing in my power to keep it clean and honest and nobody bad. If there was people, because I could tell immediately if they were going to be vicious or whatever, because obviously we had, what would you say, at least 1,000 people investigate that store. So I've seen all kinds. And you do get to know who's for real and who's just reading books and watching TV shows. Not everything happens the way it happens in those books and stories. But everything in my store was protected. And what I mean by that is Larry and I were very hands-on as to how people treated our merchandise and talked about our store. There was no – what is that word? Nobody was allowed to badger them or anything like that.
That's the thing I liked about you guys, because what I've heard, I'm not a ghost hunter, that a lot of the ghost hunters just go in place. And I hear there was like a wait list of ghost hunters to come to your store. It was one of the most famous places for ghost hunters. So it was, again, a very famous and well-known places. But a lot of these ghost hunters go into these houses just for their own sake to get videos or do a TV show. But you guys did this out of the goodness of your heart. You felt these spirits needed someone to care for them, like a mother and father. I'm brokenhearted that they didn't keep you there, because I always have the concern of these spirits now. I have nobody to look after them and what's going to happen. But so the funny thing is, after I met you guys, I was always interested in getting an active object, because I want, for two reasons. One, I thought it'd be really neat to try to communicate with it, and two, to do some testing. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, Denise offers me, would you like Meredith as a gift? She said, I don't want any money for it, but I felt Meredith wanted to come to you. And I thought, yeah, gee, I was overwhelmed. So you sent me Meredith. And my experience is, when she first got here, she was just so happy to be here. I just really bounded together really quickly. And the pictures you sent me of her looked different than when I got her. She looked like she had like a smile on her face while she was here, but wasn't in the pictures you sent. And then I realized when I looked at her sometimes, her teeth disappeared. And I took a picture of it. Remember, Larry, I sent you one. I think you were like,
I
freaked
do.
Out
I
over
do.
That.
Yeah.
And, and she also does move her legs around. Like I'll position her legs in a certain position, and then I'll look back the next morning and it'd be moved. Or one night she was like over sideways, and I have her on a doll stand. So it's not something that some vibrations, but I haven't had her move like from one room to another or anything really spectacular. So I have friends that are ghost hunters. And again, if you go to my Facebook page, we posted a lot of that. And these people are really good. And Meredith would pin the K2 meter sometimes for like 5 minutes. I mean, in the red. And they get EVPs. And we've had orbs in the room. I mean, that doll is so active. It's just amazing. And actually, since then, I've gotten two additional dolls from your store from two different people who got the dolls that felt they all wanted to be together. I just want to talk a little bit about that, but I could verify what you're saying. Meredith definitely has activity, and I do sense there's some, spiritual entity within her.
You can trust me on one thing, John. If I didn't sense goodness from you, you wouldn't have her.
Well, thank you. I'm
I know.
I appreciate that, and I try to do the best I can, and then you had two other friends, Nancy Fishgold and Cecilia Mallett. Hopefully I got their name right here. And they had two spirit-possessed dolls from your store. And for some reason, remember, Denise, you and I one night psychically both felt that Zoe wanted to come to Meredith. That was like really crazy, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. They belong together. They've been together ever since, I don't know, I think we had Meredith a month before we found Zoe. Or Zoe was already in the store. I take it back. We found Meredith for Zoe, for company.
Yes.
I never sold her all those years. That's why I didn't sell her to you. To me, she's priceless.
Like I'm the jerk that sold her, but she came back.
Well, that was before she was haunted. So.
Yeah, I thought that was amazing that all of a sudden we both had I never even thought of it the same night, a vision or a thought that Zoe wanted to come, and then Nancy was kind enough to send her to me. And then when I got in touch with Cecilia, there was a third doll who we really don't know the name, but we call her Bonnie, who also we felt that wanted to be with them. She didn't tell me she was going to send it to me. She just sent it to me out of the blue as a gift. I opened the box up and I said, oh, my God. So they seem like we call them the three sisters, right, you know, and they seem really happy together. And Meredith, though, to me seems the most active. Did you find that, too, with the dolls?
No, actually, I found Zoe was more active. A lot of investigators,
really?
Philip Wyatt, different people like that, would bring Zoe and Meredith into the back room. We had a garage that was extremely busy, and he has lots of videos. And Zoe is the one who basically would turn like 45 degrees or, you know, and we had it on video. I don't know if he still has them or not, but... Then there's another team that came up from West Palm Beach, Florida, and they were back in the garage, and they had brought Zoe and Meredith back there. And honest to God, I can send you the pictures to prove it. They got a picture of a nun in the kneeling position. You see her habit and everything close to Meredith. Not, I don't even know if it had anything to do with Meredith or
mm-hmm.
And then I forgot what the other one was. It was really awesome. I mean, there's just no denying, none. That place, I was meant to be there, and it breaks my heart every day that we're not there, and all in the name of money, you know. So that's hard to follow.
It is a shame. And I've never been to the store because, unfortunately, I met you guys. I was in St. Augustine many years ago, but I would have loved to have been there being – a collector of everything. I probably would have to sold my house because I'd probably buy everything you had in the store. But I mean, it's you know, not even to get into it, the way people do not value the idea of the spirit and the love and caring for spirits, but everything is money and to make a buck today. And, you know, look at the way they plow over, you know, historic monuments and, you know, they move historic graveyards. I guess I don't even get into it, but you guys, I think, again, we're meant to be there, obviously, because of your big heart and your love. And you know, hopefully somebody or something around there will take care of the spirits, you know, that are left. I was going to say on my Facebook page too, I posted a lot of videos that my group talked to. I have three ladies that are ghost hunters or four ladies that are psychics, ghost hunters. They're really good, and we get all kinds of stuff. And I posted a bunch of videos on it, and Nicole, Shanna, Katie, and Erica are the four ladies, and they're friends on Facebook, and you can see who they are. Both were very good. They have, you know, we use the ghost box and the K2 meters and record all kinds of stuff, and so it kind of validates what you said. You know, the question is, what do we do? I think what we do is we try to give them comfort, right, until they're ready to move on. Is that your idea, too?
I honestly don't think – I had one or two – I don't want to call them evil spirits because who knows if there is such a thing, but what do you call them? What would you call them?
I would call them mean-hearted.
I try to give everybody even the spirits. But we would have investigators, and these are not just people who pay, you know, dues to belong to a team or anything like that. We would just get everyday people to come in, and Larry and I both would spend the first hour telling them the rules of the store, because you can't believe how idiotic some people are when they think they're going to challenge a ghost. You know, you show up or blah, blah, blah. Are you kidding me? Or what? You can't see them, you know. So we would politely give them their money back and ask them to leave. That's just the way it was. So that's the part that scares me.
Well,
that's the part that scares me about.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt. What were you saying?
That's what scares me now, that we don't have the store anymore. I did have a psychic, and I don't call people psychic lightly. They have to prove to me that they are, who came in, and she's actually, if you watch the show, it's April, the lady that was in there in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And she passed them on. She helped them cross over. So naturally, we don't know who left and who stayed, but I feel pretty comfortable, you know, that the kids are taken care of now.
Oh, I want to mention that show you on my ghost story. I do have that link posted on my Facebook page, and it's really good. I mean, I got to say, really highlights both you and Larry wonderfully in the store. And oh, my God, it's one of the best productions I've seen. I know you're the second story in, but, again, people who want to see that, this is, you know, it's all free and accessible. Just become friends with me. My Facebook page is private, so you got to request a friend request. And you can get on, and you can see these videos that we have. In fact, Denise just sent me a video tonight that I've never seen before of Meredith and Zoe. And I have your link to your show that you had. Just wonderful stuff. You know, the other thing I wanted to ask you is, and you know, being a biophysicist and actually neurophysiologist too, I believe a lot of the stuff could be mediated by, you know, brain activity, higher senses, higher laws of physics. And so why this ghost hunting interests me so much is because we can get hard data, you know, like you can hear voices,
right.
You can get energy, you can get all kinds of things. Like when you go like to a psychic reading or a tarot reading, you kind of, not to put them down, you walk away with kind of nothing. But with ghost hunting, I'm drawn to it. And also like aura, you know, aura pictures. I use aura pictures, and that's really interesting. But what's your honest opinion of all, like the ghost box and the K2 meters and the EVPs? Do you think there really is a good basis that these things are legitimate, or you think it's possible they could be picking up artifacts or even psychic energy of the people that are using them? You know, that I don't know. There's never really been, as I've seen, controlled tests. But what's your opinion on that?
Well, we've obviously used all that equipment for a very long time. The K2 absolutely can pick up any frequency in the air and make the K2 go up. So do we always believe that spirit is doing that? No. It's kind of a judgment call on your part. Is there anything close to it that has electricity going through it? I mean, there's a whole gamut of things you go through. The ghost box, I want to say that, yes, we have gotten some. If I ever took the time to put 10 years worth of evidence together, I would be famous. We have some of the best EVPs and full sentences, not even just words, full sentences. Even Philip got some in the store. I believe in the ghost box.
So how does that exactly work?
Well. I'm sorry, what?
Oh.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, I was going to...
Oh, the ghost box you're talking about.
How exactly does the ghost box work? I'm not as familiar with that.
All a ghost box is basically a low or a high frequency. Larry can explain it better.
Well, in essence, what it is either AM or FM radio frequencies, and it runs through the frequencies rapidly. And what you're trying to do is pick up the stuff in the white noise between the frequencies. So when you're using a ghost box, sometimes words will just come through and it could be the radio. But the difference is, if you're asking questions and you're getting what we would consider intelligent answers to those questions more than once, so that it's not just a random act of some word coming through. That's when you start paying a little bit of attention to it. Now, we know, well, I'm not going to mention any names here, but we know of some ghost hunting places where they will bring you into a place, and in there, in the closets and things, are all kinds of electronic equipment that's hidden, so that when you walk in, your K2s will peg, and you've got all kinds of actions. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of way of salting it if that's your goal. But luckily, we didn't have to do that. We had everything open. We let people come in, and we would show them where all the wiring was, because as a building built in 1888 and 1899, you could see all the wiring. I mean, everything was there. It was one time there was nothing there but gas. So.
Yeah.
You know, and we would know where the hot spots were in the store. For example, yeah, we would let everybody say, hey, look, right here is an electric box. If you go near this electric box, your K2 is going to light up. That is not a spirit. So you have to judge everything like anything else in life. Not everything that comes through is real, but you have to be able to discern what you think based on the subject and the circumstances might be.
You know, it's interesting you said that, because I got my group that I worked with had an application for a ghost box, and I downloaded it, and it seemed pretty accurate. But for some reason, it really likes me. It talks a lot. So I was in an antique store, and I haven't used it that much, and I'm walking around, and my nickname was Johnny. Nobody calls me Johnny anymore, but the ghost box said Johnny, and I said, "Oh, okay, that's interesting." And I said, "Well, you know, this all happened, by the way, within a couple minutes, so it's not over a long period of time." So Johnny, I said, "Okay, what do you want to tell me?" And they said, "Bird," was the next word. I said, "Okay, where's the bird?" And like a couple seconds later, shelf. I turned around, and there was a shelf with a stuffed bird on it. I swear to God. I mean, that's pretty good. My name, you know. So, and then I've gotten a lot of responses. A lot of it's nonsense, too, you know, because let's face it, it's scanning the frequencies, and it's going to pick up noise. It could pick up artifacts. But my experience with it, and I'm sure the app is not as good as a real hardwire ghost box. I think there's a great potential there for, again, cutting-edge, you know, parapsychology research. But I also think, too, people like you and Denise, and I'm not psychic, sometimes that's a better indicator for some reason, you know, connecting the energies. Actually, you know, when I was a kid, my teachers, I think, thought I was psychic, because they wrote a letter home to my parents saying, "We think your kid is psycho. We're going to kick him out of school."
Lady Veronica, would you go ahead and comment on that, please?
Yeah, well, I remember actually one of my earliest memories of my dad doing any kind of, I guess, paranormal or things like that was he was doing like a banishing ritual or something in one of the rooms. Do you remember when you would do those, Dad? I remember I like went up to the door to listen, and I was like, "What is he saying in there?"
Uh-huh.
And then I told all my friends, and they were like, "What's going on?" Yeah, right.
Veronica, yeah, I guess you grew up with a kind of a weird dad. How most dads are out, you know, fishing, and I'm doing Enochian magic rituals, right?
Yeah, right. What were you gonna ask me?
But you know,
Veronica, what I like to use is just a regular recorder, just a regular old recorder.
Okay.
That way, you know, there's no hokey pokey. You're just buying it right off the shelf, and you would be surprised what you pick up on there.
Right.
And
so
it's a pain to listen
back. The ghost box is to get sound, to get words, and you would just use a regular recorder instead, because that, yeah,
right.
Obviously you're not trying to pick up anything special. Makes sense.
No. Just is
you
what
know,
it
Joe
is.
Parr, the guy I did research with, who's like the modern day Tesla, dabbled in this, by the way, and he said that he found out analog recorders do a lot better than the digital.
Absolutely.
Isn't that interesting?
Absolutely.
Mm. Absolutely.
We're pretty plain Jane.
I'm sorry?
And we do have the equipment. We have the equipment naturally because people want to use that. It's so famous and everything. But when Larry doesn't investigate. He doesn't like it. He'll go with me, but he'll sit in the car, so to speak. But
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
He is.
Who are you going to call? Hey, you know, I got to say one thing about Ronica, Ronica was, she was the only one in the family that would actually sit down with me and ask me about my research and my work and the paranormal, and actually had an honest curiosity. And I remember when she asked me, she probably doesn't remember this, she probably was in sixth grade, but she said, you know, Dad, you studied the paranormal for like 20 or 30 years, and you've been into everything, every ritual, every group, every technique. And I have, really. I mean, there's very few things out there. I didn't join the Jehovah's Witnesses yet. But anyway, besides that, I've been into almost everything out there. And she said, what have you learned in the, you know, in all this time? Mm-hmm. I said, well, to be honest with you, I don't know if I know anything more than when I was in fourth grade, because a lot of it is speculation. We don't know for sure. But we're curious. We're humans. We want the answers. We want to know. Well, you know what? I just noticed the time, because I'm supposed to end around 8. But before we get off, Larry and Denise, do you have any contact information? Or if people wanted to contact you, they could email me and I could pass it on. Do you want to give any information out for people who could contact you guys?
Well, we still maintain on Facebook a couple of sites, Antiques and Uniques Collectibles, also Ancient Avalee's Ghost Trek.
We'll send it to you.
And so that those are Facebook sites that are still active. And we still maintain a website for the store. I don't go to it much, but if somebody wants to contact us through that, that goes to our email as well. You know, we you know, just so people understand, everything that we do, there is no money involved. We, you know, we talk about it because of our interest and love in it. And we appreciate you guys allowing us to do that.
Nice meeting you, Veronica.
Yeah, you know, I really
being on here.
I got to thank you for coming on. And, I you know, we could go on, you know, for hours and hours, let's face it. I mean, with the stories you have. And you guys have the biggest heart. And I'm the same way. I don't believe in doing things for money. I think it's a dedication and a love. And so I guess what I'll say is thank you so much, Denise and Larry, not only for coming on the air, but being such a wonderful friend to me. And thank you, Veronica, for being my co-host. And glad to have you with us. And let's hope you all tune in next week, same time, same network, same station, same whatever. And join us for another show. And this is John DeSalvo wishing you a wonderful evening. And may God be with you.